We're scheduled to have Benny Eastwood. Some people call him New Zealand's answer to Alex Jones. I usually just call him Benny. And it takes some big cans and a whole lot of string to connect all the way down to New Zealand. So we are having some difficulties making that connection. I was on his show, I guess it's been a couple of months ago, and it was touch and go. We were able to pull that one off. Hopefully we'll be able to get Vinny on the air here as well. But if not, don't fear. We have a great backup plan, and that only takes enough cans and string to reach from here to Mexico. So we're going to get it taken care of. We're going to give you a great show today, and this will be a great time for you to call in and ask questions. This will be a great time for you to share any opinions that you might have with us. And if you want to call into the show, you can call at area code 347-237-5406. It's area code 347-237-5406. And you can also go ahead and tweet us at NC Kabbalah. That's my Twitter. And if you really want to, you can go on to the website, www.imnck.com, and you can send me a message there. Now, I've had a lot of work done on the website today. The look is totally different. We're doing a lot of different things. And I would encourage you, and I would even ask you nicely and politely, to go to the site, take a look at it, and if you could give me some feedback on how you think it looks, I really would appreciate that. If you look at the site, you see that we have some great guests coming up on the Jeffrey Daugherty Show. We're really trying to put together some great, great information for you. We think we're doing a fair to partly cloudy job on that. We hope that you agree. Speaking of great information that we're putting out into your hands, we are days away from the release of the epic book, Apostle Paul Antichrist. That is my first novel, and that will be published very, very, very soon. And we're just actually waiting for a foreword from Scott Allen Roberts, who is a regular on the Ancient Aliens program. He's been on the Coast to Coast program. He's also the publisher of Intrepid Magazine and also the Paradigm Symposium. They had the first one last year. George Norrie was the guest speaker. Everybody that was there, George Norrie, Giorgio Tsoukalos, many, many other people. And Scotty's writing the foreword. We're just waiting for him to put the finishing touches on that. We'll get it off to the publisher. And before you know it, we will be putting a book into your hands. And, you know, it's actually pretty good that Scotty took a little bit of time to do the foreword, because, you know, people saw the cover of the book. The book's called Apostle Paul Antichrist, and automatically they thought, oh, you hate Jesus. You're trying to defraud Jesus. You're trying to defame Jesus. You're trying to bring him down. And I had a chance to write an author's note, a little author's foreword to the book, and explain the fact that I don't hate Jesus. I love him. I'm not trying to defame or defraud him. I'm actually trying to defend him, because the book is really the New Testament story of how the original Jesus movement was hijacked and replaced by the original matrix. Yes, that matrix. It's how a faith that Jesus started based on individual divinity and individual freedom was hijacked by a control-based and guilt-based religion that basically hijacked his name and stuck it on it and created the situation that we find ourselves in right now. So the book will be out soon. It is a book written to lift up the original message of Jesus, to tell people the great news and the great life of Jesus and the things that he has taught us that enable us to find the divinity within ourselves. You know, church tells you you're born a sinner. Jesus said you're born with the kingdom of heaven within you. And it's an adventure story. It's a love story. It's got subterfuge. It's got spies. It's got double agents. Even if you don't like religion, even if you don't like me, it's a great Da Vinci Code kind of mystery, a great adventure. If you like history, it's full of history. Everybody from Alexander the Great to Nero to all the heroes of the Bible. And wow, it's pretty good stuff. So we're going to take a look here. I think that Vinny may have joined us, and I'm going to go to this call. If you're not Vinny, well, just let me know that you're not Vinny. And folks, we'll know immediately if this is Vinny. And even if you don't like this show, it's worth it to sit here for an hour just to listen to Vinny Eastwood talk. Some people say he's New Zealand's answer to Alex Jones. I say that he is his very own individual person. He is on the Vinny Eastwood show. He's on some 50 radio stations terrestrially, and he's also on the internet. And great show, a great guest, a guy that really has a different take on everything. I was blessed and had the privilege, really, of being on his show a few weeks, or maybe it was a couple of months ago. Very, very interesting fellow. Never a dull moment. He's nothing if not interesting. He's nothing if not entertaining. And folks, I think that we've got him on the line now. And we're going to go ahead and say hello to, I'm pretty sure, the illustrious Vincent Eastwood. Are you there, Vinny?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. And, you know, I'm really upset because I dressed spiffy just like you asked, and we couldn't make the video thing happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's freaking gay is what it is. It's freaking lame.
I even have some long
I dress snappy now. I've got cuffs around my wrists, a collar around my neck, and a Masonic tie like a leash. And it's a shame that people can't see it. But
do you have bunny ears on? That's what I'm wondering.
My ears are pretty big, but not quite bunny proportion.
Gotcha. Hey, Vinny, we have an international audience. I know a lot of them know who you are. But for those who don't, give us the Cliff Notes thumbnail sketch of who Vinny Eastwood is and what the Vinny Eastwood show is.
Okay. Well, who I am is a much longer story, so we'll start with what the Vinny Eastwood show is. It's a talk radio show that's on 5 days a week from Monday through Friday in the United States. That's Tuesday through Saturday in New Zealand from 5 till 7 Central Standard Time. That's 6 till 8 Eastern, 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. GMT, and 10 a.m. till midday New Zealand local time. I bring on guests from all over the world across all spectrums of discourse. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about aliens, chemtrails, 9/11 was an inside job, Agenda 21, or psychic experiments, MKUltra. It doesn't matter, okay? I try to cover everything that the mainstream leaves out, which means I have to cover everything. And it's not a show that's overly serious. We like to have a good time. There's two rules imposed on us, one by the government of the United States, the country of free speech, that says that we can't use 7 words on radio. Those words are, I'm just kidding. And and the other rule, which is imposed by the vicious tyrant at American Freedom Radio, is to have fun. Because we're having fun. The audience is having fun, allegedly. And I am New Zealand's only 5-day-a-week radio show that speaks about the truth. I am New Zealand's only YouTube channel that publishes content daily exposing scumbaggery and the New World Order. I am the only person who's ever been on, you know, hundreds of different radio shows around the world spreading this kind of message of truth, love, anti-scumbaggery, and pro having a good time and a few laughs and that kind of thing. Because, you know, look, just because you're being exterminated by a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery individuals that rape children and then donate to children's hospitals doesn't mean you can't have a few laughs. And that's basically the whole point of it, you know. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you go friggin' nuts. And back on myself, who am I?
That's a deep one. You know, who I am is a very deep question.
You got to think about this for a moment. I am a patriot. I am a young man. I'm only 28. I am very empathetic. I'm just more like M, but minus the pathetic. And the other element of my personality is that I really hate being told what to do, and I hate being pigeonholed. So naturally, I made myself into the media arena, because that's all that the media seems to do, is tell people who they are, tell them what to think, and never give any coverage to the decent, honest, hardworking people who are informed, activists, and the like. And even if they do give them coverage, it's for like 4 seconds where they say one statement, when they spoke for a whole hour, and you just don't get any information out of them. It's what I've dubbed the audio nibble. Even smaller than a sound bite, because at least, you know, when you take a bite of something, you kind of get, you know, you at least get a hint of satisfaction. But the audio nibble, no. There's just nothing out there. I was a drug dealer when I was in university, like 90% of university students. But unlike most university students who sell drugs to their mates and then wind up graduating and going on to become a lawyer or a doctor or a really successful person in society, somebody narked on me, and I lost my girlfriend, lost all my friends, lost my life essentially. And that was then that even after I signed a confession, like a massive confession. Yes, I'm a drug dealer. Yes, I've been selling weed to people for about 8 months. Yes, I've been selling about an ounce a week. And then the cops still made up evidence against me in court. I was up for an indictable charge. They caught me with 13 grams. 13 grams! The guy in front of me in court was up for sexual assault, growing 5 cannabis plants, and resisting arrest. Got 150 hours community service. The guy after him was just came out of a heroin program, you know, trying to get himself off the junk. And he, what did he do? Oh, yeah. He stole a jar of Craig's jam from a local BP service station. And he was ordered by the court to pay reparations of $4.50 to replace the jar of Craig's jam. And then I get up, possession of 13 grams of cannabis, no convictions, never had any problem with the police before. I get 300 hours community service. And it was kind of at that point when I realized that the whole system is fracked. You know, I used to believe in the system. You know, I voted passionately. I was very disapproving of people who smoked cigarettes or smoked drugs or went out and got drunk. And I suppose nothing's changed, except I just smoke a lot more and get drunk more often. The thing that happened was I went to university for a second year. I took like a year off, obviously, because I had to work off that frickin' community service down at a regional park, you know, pulling weeds and that kind of thing, ironically.
That's ironic, yeah.
Yeah, and then I went to Auckland University, and something changed in me on this one particular day. Like, I never really got school or got university, because all these people were like reading source materials and working really hard on their essays and that kind of thing. And I just fly through it. It's like, yeah, it's nothing. Get C pass. Who cares? And then this one essay topic comes up for film and media studies. And it's like it had a whole bunch of options to what to do about television, to write about television. And I was like, what's this one here? Anti-television discourse, which means talking smack about TV. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like me. And my assumption was, you know, with no evidence whatsoever, that TV was a mind control device, and that it caused people to have short attention spans, made people dumb, misinformed them about things. And they had all this different source material and all these books and things like that that you had to read based upon the anti-television discourse option. And I read all these books, and they were telling me that television was propagandizing people, that television was giving people short attention spans, that television was misinforming people, that television was distracting people. Like, basically, all of my assumptions about television had already been written down in books by people who have been long dead. And I wrote the best essay I've ever written in my life. And for the first time, you know, it's got source material, it's got references, it's got a bibliography, it's got the whole nine yards. And I gave this to a friend of mine's father, who's an English professor at the university, and he said, "Mate, that's a brilliant frickin' essay." And then I gave it to my tutors, and they gave me a D minus. It was at that moment I was just like, this whole university is fracked. It's BS, you know. And took up a job as a salesman, became the top salesman of a phone company, you know. Had a 50% strike rate. You know, anybody who can cold call people out of the blue while they're sitting there having dinner and be able to sell a different phone company to them one out of two times? That was me. Oh, damn good. And so naturally they promoted me after I told them I don't want to do sales anymore to another sales job. Except this time, instead of selling to people at home when they're having dinner, selling to businesses while they're at work. And I lost my motivation. And so instead of, you know, sitting there being a good slave and selling BS to people, I was watching a lot of documentaries and listening to a lot of Alex Jones at the time. I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company because I noticed, you know, walking around the company, talking to all these different people and all these different departments, just how much of a cacophony of problems there were, because this company had no idea how to consolidate anything that it had. It just kept buying new companies, accumulating more staff, and nothing was working properly. And as a result, staff didn't like it. They started leaving, and they had no proper training programs. The people who came in, how to sell, it was just like, yep, here's a phone, go for your life. You know, there's no tutoring or mentorship. It's just like the whole thing was just fracked. And after the 7-page essay came out, you know, a whole bunch of people in the business account management team and myself and the vice president of the company had a meeting in a boardroom, and we got through to, I think, halfway through page two before the vice president's cell phone rang and he goes, "Okay, I'm out of here." And then a couple of days later, I sent him an email and said, "What's happening with these concerns and everything?" Which everybody in the company agreed with. He says, "As far as I'm concerned, the matter is closed." A couple of days pass. My boss comes up to me and says, "Vinny, come next door for a coffee." I go, "Okay." Slaps a piece of paper down in front of me on a coffee table. And I say, "What is it?" He goes, "Sign it." I go, "What is it?" And he says, "Well, we're going to pay you 6 weeks pay to leave." And I go, "What do you mean, leave? Like, right now, this very second?" He's like, "Yeah, if you can get your stuff packed up and get out of here in 5 minutes, that'd be nice." And I was like, "You know what? I haven't had a summer holiday in a long time. $3,000 sounded like a really good deal, especially because I wouldn't have to deal with ignorant, pathetic, vacuous, soulless scum." You know? Imagine that. Somebody pays you $3,000 to no longer associate with scum. I thought it was golden. Brilliant. All I had to do was pay attention to what the company was doing wrong and try and change things. And sure enough, the company's still probably operating the same way. Then after the summer, I was like, okay, the missus is telling me I need to go get another job. So I did. And then they paid me so little, like to sell a landline and a broadband and a toll call package to a business, Vodafone will pay you about $150. These people were subcontractors of Vodafone. They were giving me $15, and they were keeping $135 for themselves. And then one day they said, "Okay, we're now, they were supposed to do data entry, right? So you fill out all these forms and what have you. And then they said, "Well, now you have to do the data entry." And you go, "Okay, are you going to give us any more money?" They're like, "No." So myself and two of the other top salespeople there left, started up this other company where we were getting paid $140 per contract instead. And I made, I think in my last month there, I made close to $4,000 cash in hand, plus a bonus of $11,900 worth of Westfield shopping vouchers. You know, it's a big mall chain here in New Zealand. You know, got everything in there. You know, your Subways and your electronic stores and so on and so forth. And my boss at the time was a total psychopath, right? Like, call me up at 9 o'clock at that night on a Friday, telling me, well, I'm having a beer at my mate's place, telling me, get up, get off the couch, find a pen, find a piece of paper, and write down the number of a client to call on Monday. And not an isolated incident, by the way. It was like I didn't have a life, you know? It's like the mother fracker was taking over my entire existence. And I was watching lots of documentaries at that point, you know, like around about 2 documentaries a day. And I was starting to have a geometric shift in my view of the world through the accumulation of vast sums of knowledge. And I started getting really angry and really depressed. And I started getting addicted to weed, you know, just like smoking all day, every day. You know, I just couldn't handle life itself. And one day I come into work, and they'd previously been shoving me out and making me travel like, I don't know, 30 Ks or something to go to an appointment. And I had to pay for my own gas and pay for my own phone and find my way there and the maps and everything like that. And then they say, oh, Vinny, here's the new leads that we'd previously been given to this other girl who lives on the North Shore, which is about 30 Ks away. And these leads that they were giving me were on Dominion Road, which were like a 5-minute walk from my house. And it was, then I noticed it was just like, these fracking scum. They had me traveling all the frack way over the bloody city when they had leads that were like right on my frickin' doorstep. And they're not letting me have a life. And I got really upset about it. And I was like, called my friend John Eisen. He does this magazine, Uncensored magazine, at uncensored.co.nz, and we'd kind of become friends a little bit. And I said to him, John, you know, I've never quit a job before. And I said to him, you know, John, I really feel like quitting. Should I? And he goes, and I'll never forget this. He asked me, just ask yourself this question. Does it feel right? And, oh yeah, did it feel right? And that was the last full time job I ever had. I took that $11,900 worth of Westfield shopping vouchers, other than stocking up on food and occasionally going to Subway for lunch or whatever. I spent it all on a fridge and a Mac computer and a Handycam and a tripod, and I started going out and attending protests, and it was very quick, you know, I realized, hey, what's going on at these protests and the speeches that these protesters are giving are never covered, and there's so many people there with cameras, you know, activists and media alike, who never show that footage. It never gets uploaded. So I started to make videos. I started to go to public meetings and upload the whole public meeting, you know, 15 parts or whatever. And started to amass a bit of a following. And this guy named Mitch Santel, native California, used to have an office in Warner Brothers. He moved to New Zealand, and he's producing a show called The American Freedom Report with Brent Johnson and Dave Von Kleist of 9/11 in Plain Sight, that documentary. And Dave Von Kleist was leaving the show because he freaking hated Brent Johnson. In fact, everybody did. And Brent Johnson wanted to bring on a whole bunch of different co-hosts, right? You know, to see who would be the most ideal co-host. So Mitch got me on there for a week as co-host. And instead of being the lowest ranked show on the network, it went up to being the third highest ranked show on the network in a week after I had on. So everybody was like, yep. Take Vinny as the co-host. You know, no need to keep cycling through him or anything like that. But Brent, of course, didn't listen. And he brings on this woman named Pam the next week, and he freaks out at her because he's like one of these kind of scripted people, you know. Freaks out at her behind the scenes, and she gets really irritated, and she just hangs up. And Brent calls me, and he says, "Hey, Vinny, do you want to quickly come on the show and start co-hosting like right now, like this very frickin' second?" Because Pam flaked out. So I did. And I became the co-host. And after a couple of months, they cancelled our show and gave it to me. And ever since then, I mean, I've been getting on the top people that you'd expect to see on InfoWars or anywhere else. I've put more New Zealand activists on radio than anybody in New Zealand history. I've got the highest rank ranked YouTube channel. I even outrank the mainstream media in New Zealand, not by a little bit, but by far outrank them, way more subscribers. And, here I am talking to you, Jeff, and telling me story. I think that's about where we left off.
That's a fascinating story, Vinny. And it's funny, as I sit there and listen to it, you know, there's a lot of parallels between what I went through in my younger days and what you've gone through. But one thing I want to ask you before I forget, I was on your show and I made the statement that you help people wake up. And I was very shocked when you stopped me and you said to me, "No, Jeff, that's not true." Do you remember the answer you gave me?
Usually I've got two standard answers for that. Number one is you can't wake people up. People have to wake themselves up. Like, nobody forced me to watch 160 documentaries in 6 months. Or the whole point is not to wake people up. The whole point is to keep those who are already awake sane. Because if you're already awake and you know how bad things are, it can drive you fracking crazy. And I try to inject a little bit of humor into this material so that those who have woken up don't go back to sleep, you know, and just have them woken up in vain.
And I thought that was fascinating because I never thought of that analogy. But when someone wakes up, if you think about someone sitting up in the bed and all of a sudden they've woken up, they've realized that, you know, there's a control matrix that's tightening ever stronger and tighter around our necks. They realize the scumbaggery, to use your term, almost the natural inclination is to just pull the covers back over your head and lay back down and bury yourself and never get up again. And, you know, here comes a guy from New Zealand who's bringing the lighter side of genocide, who's making you feel, okay, now that I've woken up, instead of just burying my head back in the sand like the proverbial ostrich, you know, maybe I can put this together. Maybe I can get up. Maybe I can go forward, do some things. Maybe I can even, once I get my feet underneath me, maybe I can even help. So I think that your perspective is sorely, sorely needed. And I'll tell you the truth, Vinny, I watch a lot of the same people you do. I read a lot of the same stuff you do. And that lighter side is really missing. And I can only say that I hope that your influence continues to spread because, I mean, we've got to have this lighter side, or, I mean, we're going to bury our heads under the covers and we're just going to go back to sleep because it's just almost overwhelming if you don't have some way to release it. And thankfully, you're out there doing that.
Yeah, and like Bruce Willis said, it's not a choice, it's a lack of options. Because I have to deal with this stuff that I know too, and I've always liked to have a few laughs and that kind of thing. I've always liked people. Friends really come quite easily to me, and I realize that a lot of people don't have those gifts that I have. And essentially, I don't know. My philosophy of life is: you do for others what they can't do for themselves, and then others will do for you what you can't for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, also one of the other elements of my backstory is not being able to work. Like, I developed a made up disorder, just like all other made up disorders, of course. But this one I made up. You know, it's called employophobia. It's a fear of being employed, and You know, it's just, I nearly had a panic attack this one time. You know, I was just, you know, the missus was trying to force me to go get another job. And I was like, no, no, no. And there have been many, many times during this rock, roaring ride of these past couple of years where the finances have been so low that I've had to force, you know, myself to consider going and getting another job. And every time I did, I damn near had a panic attack. You know, heart pounding in the chest, heavy breathing. It was horrible. Like, I literally physically can't get a job because I can't be a slave. You know, I won't. My body, my mind, my conscience, my soul, my experience, they won't let me. You know, this is all I can do now. All I can do is help give a voice to the activists who are censored out of mainstream media. All I can do is try and help save the sanity of people who are waking up to the craziness. This is unfortunately my lot in life, really. I once had delusions of going into politics, once had delusions of being a filmmaker or a stand-up comedian or so on and so forth. You know, I'm a really multi-talented dude, and I could do pretty much anything that I wanted. But unfortunately, well, I suppose actually fortunately, because this is quite a fun thing to do, really, isn't it? I get to speak to
absolutely
cool people who aren't frickin' brainwashed, mindless, slavery-addicted scum. And that's all that I talk to. So I create a myopic view that things are getting better all the time, even though I know that they're getting worse. And so it's kind of like, I don't know, I walk the tightrope, you know. Things are getting better and worse at the same time. And I think because I cover things with comedy, things of very serious natures, as well as things that are like way, way whacked out and crazy type thing on the show, for some reason I'm not getting threatened by psychopathic scumbags. I'm not getting, you know, attacked by police or anything like this. I mean, they've just given me a free pass for some reason. I think maybe it's because I discredit myself and therefore they think that nobody takes me seriously. But I don't think they realize that I don't take myself seriously. All right, there's two best pieces of advice that John Eisen's wife gave me. He's the editor of Uncensored, and she's the editor of the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. She said, Vinny, don't take yourself too seriously. And don't take what other people have to say about you personally. And I was like, well, yeah. So as a result, I can get along with pretty much anybody. And the only people that don't like me are the kind of people I don't like to be around because they take themselves too frickin' seriously. They've let the madness drive them insane. You know what happens, like if you it's like a pirate, you know, when a pirate flies the Jolly Roger, you know, the old skull and crossbones on his mast, he identifies himself both to his enemies who would wish to destroy him, but he also identifies himself to his allies, doesn't he? They come to his aid. And I think that's really what we're doing here in the truth movement, is we're sticking our Jolly Roger up in the air and just saying, no, 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 I'm not going to be a slave. I can't. I won't. I'm not going to let people suffer and die. Not while I know that it's going on and know that if I believed in myself, I could do something about it. I'm not going to let myself be mind-controlled. What the hell is the point in living life if you just let everybody else die when you can save them?
Profound words from Vinny Eastwood of The Vinny Eastwood Show. Vinny, you made the statement that you thought about going into stand-up comedy. Did you ever actually go to an open mic, put a set together, and get up there and stand and deliver?
Not yet. I've got a routine that I'm writing down, but I'm going to do for stand-up comedy what I did to Truth or Talk Radio. I'm going to change it up, And I'm going to make people laugh at the truth, as horrible and horrific as it can be. You know, I'm going to make jokes about all sorts of stuff, you know, that often ordinary people wouldn't find funny at all, you know. Like, I don't know, child pedophile rings, for example, that the government's running, the 400,000 kids that are being stolen out of the US and the 100,000 that are being stolen every year out of the UK that go missing and are never seen again, you know. And the cover-up of it, and the way people excuse it, you know, these things are really, really horrific. And I think that one of the keys to comedy and the reason why it's such a powerful medium is because you get to transmute things. You get to turn fear around and turn it into love. You get to turn horror into comedy. That's something that I want to do. I don't know how to do it tastefully. Not yet.
I don't think that's required, Vinny. I don't think that's a requirement.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm working on it. It's a process. It's a process, like grief.
You know, I encourage you to do it. I myself do stand-up comedy, even to the point where I've done several paid gigs. And it's interesting that I'm taking the same type of approach you are, but I'm applying it to the religion aspect. So I get up there and make the ridiculousness and the horrific acts of religion into jokes, and it really works because it's never been done before, and what you're trying to do has never been done before. So please keep me up to date and let us know when you're going to do that, because I'd love to be there, and if not, I'd at least like to see some video of it. But Vinny, you've made a couple of great points, and I know there's people out there right now that are saying, you know what, this guy's right. Now, I say so many of the same things that you're saying about get out of the rat race. You know, find your passion, do what's really you. Why do you want to be a slave? Fly your Jolly Roger. I don't say it in exactly those terms. But I know hearing it from me and now hearing it from you, there's people out there, the light's going on. They're saying, yes, I really want to do it. But Vinny Eastwood, what do you say to a guy that's got a mortgage and he's got two cars and he's got three kids and he's got a wife, he's got a dog, he's working this job, he's mortgaged to the hilt. He knows that he's got to get out. He wants to get out. What do you tell to those people that are just trying to stay alive? They realize that they want to get out. How can they do it? What practical steps do you think that you can offer to people that are saying, you know what, these two fools are right. I got to do it. How do I do it? What do you say to them, Vinny?
Can we swear on this broadcast?
It's allowed to swear. We're allowed to swear, absolutely.
All right.
Hell yes.
two words if you're in that situation and you want to get out. Fuck it. All right, seriously. Fuck it. Whatever the hell is your problem, whatever you think is stopping you, whatever you think is so important, whatever you think is a good excuse to not do what you're meant to be doing. If you hate your situation, doesn't mean you hate your kids or you hate your wife or you hate your house or anything, but you hate your situation, that you're a slave. You're going to a slave job, you've got a slave master, you're paying off your slave debt, all of that kind of stuff. Fuck it. Stop with it, man. All right? What do you think's going to happen? Okay? Now, really, really think about this. What do you think is going to happen if you just keep doing what you're doing? New world order is getting stronger. Privacy is becoming nothing. Nation states are being eroded away. All the houses are being foreclosed on. All your rights are being taken away like there's no frickin' tomorrow. Your kids are going to get forcibly sterilized. You're going to have a microchip implanted in you. You won't even live to see a day of freedom again. You think that's worth paying off your mortgage for a house that's going to be taken off from you? You think that's worth feeding your kids who are going to grow up to be slaves to a bunch of pedophile scum that run your country? You think that's worth it? All of these things that you hold dear, all of these things that you think are valuable, all of these things aren't actually holding you up. They're holding you back. You need to realize what is going on and understand that, hey, look, fortune favors the bold.
quit your slave job. Tell your boss to go frack himself. Tell your kids and your wife, look, I can't be a slave anymore. I know things are going to be really hard, but I've got this really brilliant idea, and I'm going to do it. And the missus will be like, oh, no, you can't. We'll put our family in jeopardy. All right. I'm going to do this, okay? Because there's no other option, all right? I can't keep doing what I'm doing. If I keep doing what I've always done, I'll always have what I've always had. And that's debt and servitude. I mean, what is an excuse? What do you think? That people who've had kids and homes and stuff like that and families to provide for throughout history haven't accomplished great and amazing things by telling their boss to frack off? Hell no. History is littered with people who have many, many responsibilities, but they have a higher calling. Do you have a higher calling? What is it that you think you can contribute to society? And if you don't know that yet, you're not going to have any options. This is the world that we live in now. They're trying to destroy the amount of options that you have. And guess what? You have the power innately within you to create things that have never existed. Somebody made a comment to me today, is that, oh, Vinny, you can't reinvent the wheel. And go, really? What do you think a maglev train did? It reinvented the wheel. Here's a way of reinventing it, having that wheel never touch the fracking ground so it never wears down. You can reinvent the wheel. You can change the world. Anthony Robbins, the motivational speaker, said that humanity is suffering from a crisis of faith, not in religion, not in government, but a crisis of faith within ourselves.
Vinny, that is so true. And this is a spiritual show, waxing back towards that way. That's what this dude named Jesus was trying to tell us 2,000 years ago. Religion, church is trying to say you're a dirty, rotten sinner, you're born bad. And Jesus was saying, no, wait a minute. The kingdom of heaven is inside you. Divinity is inside you. Freedom is inside you. The world of potential is inside you, and this whole matrix of control and guilt descended upon that message, hijacked it, left us with where we are, and really laid the foundation for the whole control matrix to be implemented. And Anthony Robbins is 100% right. And as you were talking, I was reminded of one of my favorite speeches in a movie. The movie was The Hunt for Red October. And Sean Connery was playing the Russian captain. And if you remember that movie, he had taken them out into a Soviet nuclear ballistic submarine. And unbeknownst to all of his officers, he had already announced his intention to defect back home. So all of the Russian Navy was coming after them. And they said to him, what have you done? What have you done? And this is to the guy that you're talking to, Vinny, that's sitting there with the mortgage, that's sitting there with all these things saying, how can I just quit? Well, Sean Connery's speech, and I'll do my best Sean Connery impersonation, it probably won't be that good. He said, when Cortez came to the New World, he had his sailors burn the ships in the harbor. As a result, his men were highly motivated. And that's exactly what you need to do. Get yourself some gas, pour it all over everything, I'm not talking literally, I'm talking figuratively, and take the advice of Vinny Eastwood, strike a match, say fuck it, and throw the damn thing and let it burn up. Run your Jolly Roger up the last remaining piece of wood and say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do what I've been put here to do, and I'll either die doing what I'm meant to do, but I won't live being your slave anymore. What do you think about that, Vinny?
Well, you'll notice when you do that all of a sudden everything that you ever needed suddenly comes to you. Right?
Absolutely.
I was sitting there one morning. I woke up one morning and I was like, oh my God, I got my rent due. I got my registration for my car due. I got my internet bill due. I need a $500 donation. And I looked into my PayPal. Guess what was sitting in there? A $500 donation.
Yep.
I'll be sitting at my desk after my show. And go, man, I'm really hungry. I wish I had a pie. And all of a sudden there's this knock at the door. It's my mate Dan. He said, Vinny, I got you a pie.
You know, people think we're crazy. You know, I've been in the same place you are, a little bit different circumstances, working for Marriott, you know, making ridiculous money, selling timeshare, realizing that this is not what I'm called to do. I'm called to do something different. I quit my job, wasn't married anymore. My wife had already left me. My mother goes ballistic. How are you doing this, Jeffrey? You're doing good. You're making all this. And you know what? I had to get rid of the big house. I had to get rid of the two Land Rovers. I had to get rid of a lot of things, but I've consolidated it. I've simplified it. Vinny, I've never been happier. I've never been more fulfilled. I've never been in better physical condition, never been in better mental condition, never been in better spiritual condition. Here we are, 4, 5, 6 years later, building the largest spiritual network on the planet. All day long, I talk to people and watch light bulbs go off and watch them have great victory in their lives. And you know what? I wouldn't take the $300,000 for it again. I wouldn't take the houses and the cars, because this is what it's all about. And I know that when I lay down at night, Vinny, that I can, if I die in my sleep, I know that I can stand before my maker, or however it works out, and know that I've done the best I can do. And really, at the end of the day, that's all you can ask of a man. That's all you can ask of a woman. Do your best. So listen to Vinny Eastwood. Listen to me. Listen to your heart, though. That's the whole thing. Don't do it because Vinny says it. Don't do it because Jeff says it. But if that little voice in your head and in your heart says it, dude, what are you waiting for? Vinny, in our last couple minutes, tell us how to get in contact with you. Tell us how to see your stuff. Tell us how to watch your stuff. And leave us with an absolute profundity that will have everyone in this audience sitting at their desk tomorrow, scratching the corner of their eyebrows, saying, man, that was really good.
Yeah. All right. And here's the profundity. Give me money. No, seriously, though. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you approve of the things that I'm doing, by all means, you know, you got two choices. You can either do what I'm doing, or do something that you can do, or if you can't do either of those, then fund somebody like me. If not me, then somebody else. Somebody who you agree with, somebody who you think is doing right by humanity. And just by giving something to somebody who's doing something, you feel better about it, and you're actually contributing to a better world. That's something that I believe that people need to get through their head, is that everybody needs help. Everybody needs money. I mean, like, I wouldn't have a roof over my head, a studio or anything like that, if it weren't for the very kind and generous regular donations of my listeners. You know, I haven't sold a Blue Shield for like 6 or 7 months. You know, I am operating now entirely on the goodwill of strangers. Isn't that interesting? And every single time that I need something, I ask my listeners for it, and I always get it, always, because they believe in me, they care about me, they love me, and it's reciprocal, you know? I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love you. Whoever you are listening to right now, just, you know, just like in that scene in V for Vendetta, I may not ever laugh with you, cry with you, hug you or anything, but I love you with all my heart, and I'm so grateful that you're listening to me right now. You know, that is something that I it has really humbled me over the years, and something that George Norrie told me. I asked him, you know, seeing as you've have you ever seen George Norrie get into a fight with anybody? You ever seen
Never.
George Norrie ever criticize anybody or attack anybody? No.
Never.
So I asked him, you know, George, how did you maintain being so down to earth? And he says, well, you've got to talk to the people. Everywhere you go, everything you do, there are people, and you've got to talk to them. Otherwise, you start thinking that you're better than they are. You start thinking, I'm more important than everybody else. You're not. You're just a human being, just like everybody else. And what do you got to lose by having a conversation, you know? No matter how much knowledge I've accumulated off of people who used to work for the CIA or FBI whistleblowers or whatever the hell, no matter how much knowledge I accumulate, every single conversation I've had with a truther, no matter how long the conversation is, I learn something off them. Isn't that interesting? There's that much information in the universe that everybody knows something that I don't. And you got to really value people for that contribution to society, I think. I'm really quite callous with myself a lot of times. Like, I remember this last week, for example, I went to 3 protests in 3 days, got all the videos up, and then went to a public meeting about the GCSB bill. It's the NSA equivalent in New Zealand. In fact, the NSA has offices in their building. And the law just passed today. So it's now official. You can legally, warrantlessly, wiretap and read the emails of anybody in this country, which I've been doing the whole time anyway, under Project
sure.
Echelon, except now they've made it legal. And the slave tells me, you know, it's just like, oh, well, I can trust the government with my data. I've got nothing to hide. And I go, okay, mate, this is your future. You're living in an apartment, it's only a couple of hundred square feet, in a slave block next to railroad tracks. There's cameras in your bedroom, your living room, your kitchen, and your bathroom. You got no cash, no public transport, no private transport, sorry. All you got is a chip, public transport, which has facial recognition systems on it. So if you ever think, do, or say anything that the New World Order doesn't like, and could just be an expression, a gesture, an emotion, they'll just turn your chip off. And you won't be able to do anything, including buy food. That is the future. And you'll be forcibly sterilized too. You know what this guy says? Well, I already live in an apartment next to a railroad tracks, and I'm not doing anything wrong, so it's perfectly fine to have cameras in my bathroom, you know. If the government wants to watch me go into the bathroom, you know, that's fine. And I said, well, mate, you're already a slave then, and there's nothing I can do or say to help you out of your situation. Just know and remember one day that you were warned and you did nothing to stop it. What's more important, ladies and gentlemen? What's more important than the survival of a free human race? There's no point surviving if you're not free, is there? What's more important? I don't understand why people even argue with me. And the thing is, they're mentally ill. This mental illness has been placed on everybody. You know, they tell you how to live. They tell you how to think. They tell you how to act. And they try and ostracize you if you step out of line. They try to make you feel bad about thinking for yourself, about doing what you know is right, so that you're accepted. And people fear not being accepted so much that they stop themselves from doing anything that they want. Just ask yourself this question. What is more important to you? Being accepted or being exceptional? I think it's a pretty easy choice. And you can check out my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in, go ahead, make my news. And if you search up Vinny Eastwood on YouTube, that's where most of the videos, and in fact, I've been filming myself on the tripod camera, and I'll get a picture of Jeff and chuck it into the video. So, you know, we'll be pretty close. Maybe Jeff, if you want to take a few pictures of yourself with your webcam and send me the pictures, like, you know, right after the broadcast today, I'll chuck those in there. So, you know, we'll both look very snazzy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, listen to my radio show, watch my videos, and really hear the words that I'm speaking, because I may be young, but I've spoken to many people who are a lot wiser than I, and I'm passing on their knowledge and their spirit and honoring those who have come before us that gave us the society that we have now, the freedom that we enjoy. Thank you very much.
Vinny, it was a pleasure having you on the program today. Hope everybody tunes in, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome. Cheers, Brian.
That was the irrepressible Vinny Eastwood. What a pleasure it was to have him on the show. And folks, you know, I know that that's a little bit of a different type of guest than what we normally have, but you know, you guys hear me say things that are similar. You hear me bring up points that are similar. You hear me bring points of view that are similar, but I don't bring it in that just blunt, here it is, slap you in the face, shake you way that only Vinny Eastwood can do it. And how many people can hit you right in the face like a 2x4 coming through a window and have you wipe the blood off and smile and laugh and thank him for it? That's the gift that Vinny Eastwood has. And folks, everything he said was true. Everything he said was right on. Think about it. If none of that applied to you, just let it go on by. But if it did apply to you, and only you know that, and only you know what you can do, visit Vinny's site. Find me on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Find me at www.iamnck.com. Find me on Facebook, also under NC Kabbalah. I'll be over on Twitter for a few moments after the show if you'd like to talk. And until next week, this is Jeffrey Daugherty wishing you, above all else, peace and light.